Hello, everybody. My name is Francisco Arqueros from the University of Almería in Spain. And today I'm going to read a book review of Made in Baja, the lives of farm workers and growers behind Mexico's transnational agricultural boom by Christian Solniski. This is an abridged version of the book review already published on the website. What do we know about the fresh vegetables that we buy from the shelf in our local supermarket? Where do they come from? Who has produced them? And under which labor and social conditions? The monograph Made in Baja provides answers to those questions, particularly for US consumers. The intention is to unveil the basic pillars of the production regime of export agriculture in San Quintin, Baja California. The author carried out ethnographic fieldwork for about a decade, though he's not precise about the time span, mainly during the summer months, hanging around in the colonias where workers, mainly migrants from southern Mexico, have settled during the last two or three decades, an experience conceptualized as new territorialization. However, growers and government still construe them as temporary laborers who do not belong to the land. Their categorization as temporary laborers pushes down the value of their labor. This means, in other words, an externalization of the reproduction of labor, such as spending in schools, healthcare, infrastructures, such as access to water, which is the major one and about which I will talk later. The author doesn't deal with those issues at the beginning of the book, but rather in chapters 6 and 7, the last two. I prefer, however, start at that point with the farm workers in the colonias, with how they build their homes and get their food, with their irregular and low wages, but also by resorting to temporary migration to the US, informal economic activities, and participation in state social programs for poor families, and how they fight back the externalization of the reproduction cost by demanding decent living conditions and access to water, access to their dramatic need for water, since they live in the middle of a desert. Because farm workers' need for water to live is placed at the bottom end of the government's priorities, while the need of water for export agriculture is placed at the top. In that context, the author underlines the ecological violence of commercial farming and its predatory nature. At a more general level, farm workers, in order to survive, have to fight both for citizenship and labor rights, building at the same time class identity and community. And in the course of this struggle, they have created independent social movement unions to articulate their demands, rejecting what we could call business partnership unionism, though the author doesn't use those terms. Now, I can go back to the beginning of the book, for Made in Baja constitutes a journey in historical political economy inspired in anthropologists like Wolf, Mintz, and William Rosebery. To understand the lives of farm workers, it is important to know how commercial export agriculture has developed and has created a transnational class of workers. Chapter 1 and 2 focus on local growers and transnational US corporations operating in the area. The author also tells how a land with only scarce underground water, unpopulated, and with no infrastructures, was chosen to be developed as a center for commercial agriculture for export. In a neoliberal globalized world, the North American Free Trade Agreement, NAFTA, and changes in Mexican law facilitated agrarian U.S. capital in search for cheap labor just across the border, buying and renting land in Baja California. In the 1980s, the agrarian Mexican policy turned to high-value crops like tomatoes and berries for export. This led to local farmers to establish links with Californian growers, but also the corporation ABC Farm started to cultivate tomatoes in open fields. The increasing need for irrigation that of these water-thirsty crops led to the depletion of aquifers. The last straw for this open field agricultural industry was a workers' revolt at the end of the 1990s against an abusive labor regime, and also the conditions in which they were housed in labor camps. And this ended with ABC Farm. However, it wasn't the end of intensive agriculture in Baja California. A major structural change followed with a switch to greenhouses, more water efficient and more productive. Water scarcity was solved by constructing desalinization plants. These changes pushed the level of investment very high, and local growers could only compete by establishing partnerships with US capital, such as contract growing or business associations, although some local independent growers also appeared. The other important change was the settlement of workers in colonias and some improvement in working and living conditions that followed. Chapter 3 describes how recruitment is delegated to labor contractors, how this brought workers from southern Mexico in the 1980s and 1990s, and how they were housed in labor camps. Around the turn of the millennium, they started to settle these workers more permanently in colonias, and since then they are directly recruited there by labor contractors. Chapter 4 focuses on the workplace regimes and how the quality standards demanded by supermarkets have a decisive role in the way the work process is organized. Chapter 5 deals with workers' everyday forms of resistance on farms and open and collective resistance, as in the case of the 2015 labor strike that paralyzed the area and in which workers were demanding better working conditions. All in all, the book shows the human and ecological cost of the fresh produce industry in Baja California, representative of agricultural industries in poor countries exporting to rich countries. The book is enhanced by an appendix on policy recommendations, a good exercise in applied anthropology, which gives further voice to the demands from below for good labor and social practices, water, and decent incomes. From a critical point of view regarding this ethnography, it is not clear what contribution it makes to anthropological theory, or whether there was an intention in that regard. There are some attempts, like the concept new territorialization. It looks like the main intention was to fill the lack of ethnographic studies on the impact of export agriculture in Baja California, as the author says. Another question has to do with the methodology followed to carry out the research and present the material. The ethnographic data presented in chapters 1 to 5 on growers and the labor regime on farms come from interviews with growers on their farms and workers in the colonias, as the author didn't work on a farm. Participant observation, on the other hand, constitutes the base for most of chapters 6 and 7. There's nothing wrong with combining different research strategies. However, participant observation usually leads to richer and thicker description. In fact, chapters 6 and 7 constitute the most compelling part of the book, because the author was there hanging around. As a reader, I wonder whether the ethnography as a whole could have gained with a shorter and more condensed text on farm work and growers, because the author wasn't there, and a longer and more detailed text on the lives of workers in the colonias, where he did hang around. Nevertheless, overall, this is an important and recommended book for anthropologists with a political economy orientation and interested in agriculture and capitalism. Thanks for listening.